Tom Carkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast says a mixture of clouds and sunshine today. We'll have a high of about 75. Cloudy in Kenosha, it's currently 63 degrees, 60 in Burlington, 65 Milwaukee, 64 in cloudy in Racine. A federal appeals court for the Eastern District of Wisconsin with a 2-1 decision has upheld the vacated murder conviction against Mark Jensen for the 1998 poisoning death of his wife. As it has with every judicial review, a letter written by the victim, Julie Jensen, urging authorities to look first at her husband if anything happened to her, and allowed as evidence in Mark Jensen's trial, is at the heart of the appeals process. The Wisconsin Department of Justice could continue its argument with the state Supreme Court. In Fox Lake, Illinois, authorities now saying those three people identified on surveillance video in connection with the murder of Joe Glinowitz are not connected. Lake County Major Crimes Task Force Commander Joe Falenko says those three individuals have been cleared. Police still looking, though, for two white males, one African-American male, the suspects that Glinowitz was pursuing on foot before he was shot and killed. They remain optimistic, he says, that they're going to be eventually identified.
I have to stay optimistic. I have to stay positive. I have to keep moving forward. And that speaks well also for all the investigators, state, federal, and local.
Valenko said the DNA had recovered from the crime scene does not belong to the slain officer, and the FBI is now trying to make a match on that. Hundreds, of course, attending the officer's funeral on Monday. A Racine County Sheriff's deputy came across a car stalled halfway on the surface for Highway 20 at the interstate, halfway onto the grassy median, the driver breathing, unresponsive, and with a used needle in his lap. Man was pulled from the car by the deputy, given first aid, including two doses of the drug Narcan, second injection, making him responsive enough to communicate. Union Grove Fire Rescue then arrived, took over, brought the man to the hospital. He was later jailed on several traffic and drug charges, a news release pointing to prior drug convictions on his arrest record. More legislation meanwhile proposed at the state capitol in Madison trying to combat the opiate addictions across Wisconsin. That story from Bob Haig.
Lawmakers introducing four bills as a follow-up to a package passed unanimously and signed into law last year. Representative John Nygren was author of the HOPE initiatives.
There is a legitimate use for opiates in our society. We are not looking to limit that access.
Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Last night, the Racine County Board hearing about the many positives from creating a court back in 2006, dealing specifically with certain alcohol and drug cases. Judge Gerald Patak telling supervisors about 54 graduates out of 142 accepted cases of nonviolent offenders. They get referred by an assessment team. 26% of last year's participants African-American, 12% the first 4 years. The judge saying that's something he attributed to greater promotion of the court within the community. Steve Kadoff is a graduate of the treatment court from 2009. He initially did it just to get a reduced sentence, but said that bottoming out really helped him realize what he needed to do, and said the treatment court tears you down, then it can build you up. And he's glad to share his experience so it maybe can help others.
I talk about this a lot. I don't know where I would be today if it wasn't for drug court. I honestly don't, because like I said, even when I got in there, I wasn't done. So if I was never introduced to drug court, I would not be standing here. I have four kids now. I had two at the time. Who knows? They probably wouldn't know me.
County Board Vice Chair Pamela Zinner Richards likening the drug and alcohol court to a very good parent. And the former chief of the Tishigan Volunteer Fire Department was in Racine County Circuit Court yesterday. He's accused of stealing from the department.
46-year-old Todd Bloom of the town of Waterford has been charged with theft in a business setting, unauthorized use of an entity's identifying information, and misconduct in public office. He is free on a $5,000 signature bond and is scheduled to return to court September 30th for a preliminary hearing. A motion to dismiss the charges filed by Bloom's attorney was denied by Court Commissioner Alice Rudebush. Bloom is accused of misappropriating more than $20,000 from the fire agency for his own use. He was fired in December.
City of Racine Health Department maintaining its Level 3 status after passing a comprehensive review as the only non-county run operation out of 87 in the state. Angela Ninskern, the regional director for the State Division of Public Health, telling the Board of Health that the review included the basic Level 1 services the city already has, but also the 14 additional services it provides, helping to get the city to that Level 3 status. She also pointed out the designation as a Level 3 health department. That factors into grant dollars, and those are critical to Racine's operation.
And so that gets you not a lot, but a little bit of a bump in some of our program funding services to the agency. So I want to recognize the leadership here, both Daddy Kay, the staff here, as well as the board, and present the certificate.
City Health Administrator Dottie K. Bowersox noting the recertification would not have been possible without the leadership and work done by Marsha Fernholz in Environmental Health, Julie Kinzelman directing the laboratory, and Bobby Ferguson, Community Health. Board of Health had a celebratory cake on hand that listed major accomplishments in the past year, vicious animals, backyard chickens, and the condom program. Caledonia Police warning everybody, stay out of the old Western Publishing building on Erie Street. That after responding to a bunch of calls about teenagers vandalizing the place and using it for drug activity. On the department's Facebook page, police indicate the building is highly unsafe, including with broken glass everywhere inside the rooms, even the hallways, standing water, black mold and asbestos, shattered fluorescent bulbs have left mercury in the hallways. Citations issued to a number of teens have been caught inside. Officers now checking that property several times a day due to the problems. A neighborhood meeting held last night to discuss a proposal by the Shalom Center in Kenosha for developing a new homeless shelter site drew about two dozen people to the city's transit center right across the street on 39th Avenue. Meeting hosted by Alderman Anthony Kennedy and Patrick Giuliana. Kennedy said there is support for the shelter, noting that he has spoken to a number of neighborhood leaders about this potential project.
I've talked to quite a few people in the district. I talked to Everett Butler. I talked to Tim Mahone. I talked to Jim Schlichting. I talked to Matt Augustine. I've talked to a lot of people in the district, and it's been a general warm reception.
Shalom Center officials looking at the old JTH Holdings building on 39th Avenue, north of 45th Street. Cost to remodel it's going to factor in, as well as city approvals. Rezoning is on the Plan Commission agenda for later this month. Shelter would replace the existing facility at the Shalom Center's 62nd Street site and the INS program, which is operated in a number of local churches during the winter months. A previously scheduled due process hearing tonight for Kenny's on Main Street, a bar at 1300 North Main, has been delayed until September 23rd because of talks between the owner, Kenneth Meyer, and the city attorney's office, which may produce an agreement. At stake is the bar's liquor license, which is being called into question because of past activity involving police. The matter now scheduled for a review at least in a couple of weeks. In Madison, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says a new effort to scale back the state's open records laws is not underway. No plans, he says, to take up any changes to the law.
That's not our goal this session. The Attorney General's had an open records summit, so he's been talking about some of those as well. But really, as we look at it, I don't think that there is going to be any kind of a massive change to how we currently operate, but I wouldn't want to say that every law shouldn't be able to be changed over time.
This all coming after a report showed that Voss's office requested draft changes to a provision that was dropped from the state budget, which would have restricted public access to legislative records. WRJN.com is our webpage. You can listen to our newscast in podcast form whenever you want. Just go to the local news section at WRJN News for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karkle, AM 1400 WRJN News.